Hello and welcome to Cavagansu's Live on this Friday afternoon. Thanks for being here with us. Jimmy's going to be with us second hour. We'll do a bonus hour of open forum today. First hour, as promised, Rose Sweet is here, and we're going to talk with Rose about, you know, we've talked about a lot of things in the last year. Well, we haven't gone to your wheelhouse very much, which is talking about separation and divorce and annulment, and so we'll talk about that today. You can find out all about Rose Sweet, speaker and pilgrimage leader and author and
coach.
Life coach at rosesweet.com. Hello, Rose. Thanks for coming.
Hi, Si. It's good to be back again.
And I'm glad we're talking about this. It's not like it's for one thing, it is very interesting because the church has a lot to say about marriage, divorce, separation, annulment. But also, in a practical way, this is a show we need to do every now and then.
Yeah, and I used to not really understand what the church taught, and I was all against what the church taught, even though I didn't know what the church taught. And when I found out what the church really did teach, it's really beautiful. It's really beautiful.
Yeah. So if you've got questions about, maybe you've got divorce questions or separation questions, maybe you have annulment questions, maybe you're thinking of marrying and you have a marriage or attempted marriage in your past you'd like to talk about, 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. I got to admit, I'm just super worried, and I'd like you to mostly do all the work because I have to give a talk tonight at St. Therese Parish in Carmel.
But you're going to be fine. What's your topic tonight?
I got to come up with something in the next hour while we're... No, I'm just kidding. I'm talking about why it's so hard to be Christian in the modern world.
Well, you should be talking all night long on that one, that's for sure. Yeah, you won't run out of material.
But I'm really worried about the hurricane. We got a hurricane coming, and my house is made out of 50% wood, 50% termites.
Insurance. Let it go. This is what our faith says. Let it go. Trust God. You could get a whole new house.
I'm so glad you're here. Yeah. No, I'm worried about the termites, the poor dears.
I'm not really.
But I'm pretty sure that if, like they said, we might get 45-mile-an-hour or 60-mile-an-hour winds from this. Okay, 45 miles an hour, I feel like my house will still be standing. No way that house is going to make it through a 60-mile-an-hour wind.
I heard 80.
You heard 80?
I heard 80, yeah. I mean, live in the low desert.
Man,
so.
I'm going to be like Dorothy.
I have to drive home tonight through the mountains.
Well, yeah, but it's not coming tonight. It's not coming until Sunday.
Okay.
But it is going to be bad out in the desert, I heard.
Yeah,
I heard you're going to get flooding out
there. I'm going to hunker down.
Yeah, all good, hunker. Very good. Glad you'll be hunkering. 888-318-7884 is the number, 888-318-7884. So you said what the church teaches on marriage is beautiful. Well, give us some of it. What does the church teach?
Well, I didn't realize that the church, first and foremost, upholds the dignity of the human person. And she, our mother, the church, knows what every man and woman really, really wants. And she wants to get us there. And she wants to help us get what we want. And those rules and regulations that we think are so restrictive are really to get us exactly where we want to get, which is true love, true happiness, you know, true security. So I brought a little cheat sheet today, and I thought we'd just kind of throw out what the church says in the catechism about divorce and then also about separation, because I was shocked to hear that as well.
What the church has to say about separation? Mm-hmm. All right, yes. Give us a little bit about... Well, first of all, where do we find this in the catechism?
Well, in the catechism, the sections 2382 to 2386. Let me say that one more time. 2382 to 2386. And then there's another little part in 1649. Then I brought two little canon law references, too, because canon law is another beautiful source of the teachings of the church. So let me start with divorce.
Okay.
This is the hard thing to say. Divorce is a grave offense against the natural law. It injures the covenant of salvation, of which sacramental marriage is the sign, and it introduces disorder into the family and into society. So your little marriage that you think is not that important, that you left and it's falling apart, it affects everybody in a certain sense.
Yeah, right. When you say it affects everybody, that is because what the church teaches about any marriage is that it affects that marriage itself affects everybody.
Right.
Marriages are service our services to a whole, to a wide community, not
That's
just to the
correct.
Two people in them.
Yeah. That's correct. And every good that happens in a marriage, in a certain sense, blesses all the community. I mean,
yeah.
We're not isolated. Your marriage has a personal dimension, to be sure,
mm-hmm.
that even just you and your spouse and God knows, but it also has a public dimension. And the two are always held in tension together. So whatever you do in your marriage privately will come out and affect the rest of the family and the culture.
Yeah, not least by the children that you send out
right.
into the world, I guess.
Exactly,
yeah.
Exactly.
Okay. So you said that's the hard part to say.
Well, and here's another hard part. Number two, this disorder brings grave harm to the spouses. Even if you think you're the one who can't wait to get out of the marriage, yippee, I'm free, you're bringing harm upon yourself and don't even realize it. Harm to the spouses, to the children, and this is the words from the Catechism, it is a plague on society. It's a plague on society.
Wow, that is strong language. Divorce is a plague on society.
And yeah. people okay. who've been through divorce or thinking about divorce don't want to hear those words, but this is the harsh reality that helps you, is actually going to help you get to where you want to get. And then the other thing the Catechism says, and there's much more, but I'm paraphrasing, one of the spouses may be the innocent victim of a divorce decreed by civil law.
Yeah, I've seen that. I'm sure you have.
Yeah. I have too. And I've been that victim. And mm-hmm. you can try all you can. It takes two for a marriage and one for a divorce.
Right, yeah.
So
right.
It's tough. But the Catechism goes there. The church goes there. She has a lot to say about it in that regard. She doesn't interfere herself into the civil arena, but she knows what our hearts were made for.
Okay. You're right. It is hard to hear because I think have we become kind of numb to the gravity of divorce, do you think?
Yes and no. There are people in the church, I think, who are very afraid. They see these huge numbers out there of divorce in the church.
Well, yeah, right, right.
And they're terrified that we're going to be watering it down. It's unjust. It's horrible. And they get overly anxious and terrified and try to tell people how bad you are that you got a divorce. And,
yeah.
You know, and I know they mean well, but they're operating out of fear. Because, Si, here, and if this is the only thing I say on this show, let me say this. The one thing I've learned, you, me, even the Pope, should never tell a couple to stay together or get a divorce until they have talked to both parties and have all the information necessary to make that call.
Yeah, right.
And we are too quick, especially in the church, to say, oh, go ahead, he's a narcissist, or she's a narcissist, or no, 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 you have to go back to that horrible spouse because that's your duty.
Right,
right. So we're very polarized, and in this work that I was forced to do out of my own life, I've come to see we can't call those shots. Even on the radio, I can't say, well, it sounds like you should file for divorce, or sounds like you should go right back to your husband, even though he's been cheating on you for 55,000 years.
But that's a long marriage. That is
well, it is. I don't know where that came from.
I think
from,
you might have exaggerated that one.
Okay, okay.
Okay, because we want to defend marriage, and we want to know that we want people, especially people who may have given up hope, to know marriage can work, but it's not going to work without really determination. It's never going to work without determination. But we also don't want to make it seem like determination is all that it takes. And if this marriage fails, that means you just didn't have the
right
the strength to do it, or you just didn't commit.
No, that's too easy, and we do more harm than good when we dispense that kind of advice too quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Just every person is unique and unrepeatable. Therefore, every marriage is unique, has different circumstances. And until I started getting to the work that I do in divorce healing ministry and being involved in the annulment process and serving in dioceses really all around the country with people who were filing and people who got left and diving deep into their stories, oh, Lord, have mercy on all of us.
Mm-hmm.
So many of us don't know what we're doing, and we need help.
The number is 888-318-7884 if you need help or if you just want to talk about what the church teaches on marriage, divorce, separation, and annulment. 888-318-7884. There are calls on the line, and we'll get to them. A little more conversation with Rose when we come back, and then we'll get to calls. Does that sound all right?
Sounds great.
All right, right back with more after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Catch Catholic Answers Live anytime at Catholic.com.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects home buyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite Monks of Wyoming. Delicious Mystic Monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All Mystic Monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase Mystic Monk coffee, visit mysticmonkcoffee.com. That's mysticmonkcoffee.com.
Proclaiming the faith, changing lives.
The year was 2005. EWTN embraces new technology to carry out its mission of evangelization by making its live programs and classic broadcasts available for podcast online in MP3 format at no charge.
To learn more about Mother Angelica's life and the history of EWTN, visit EWTN.com/Mother Angelica.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Rose Sweet here with us, and Rose always comes to the conference in September. Are you coming this year to the conference?
I wouldn't miss it. It's the highlight of my year, really and truly. There are so many great Catholic people there and speakers, and the vibes are wonderful, and the food is great, and the rooms are great, and the masses are beautiful. Oh, I love it.
Wow. CatholicAnswersConference.com. That's where you need to go. I'm not even going to add to that ad. That was so good.
It's really, I can't wait.
CatholicAnswersConference.com. All right, so you have a few more points you wanted to make about.
So people can understand, really, the Church addresses all this. In the Catechisms, 1649 is the reference. There are some situations in which living together becomes practically impossible for a variety of reasons. The Church will permit physical separation in those cases, but you're still married. The bond is still presumed valid, and you have to honor that. The separation of spouses, this is in Catechism 2383. The separation of spouses while maintaining the marriage bond can be legitimate in certain cases provided for by canon law.
Okay.
Next one, if civil divorce remains the only possible way of ensuring certain legal rights, the care of the children, or the protection of inheritance, it can be tolerated and does not constitute a moral offense. Now, I'm just going to throw this out here. My husband is in a skilled nursing facility.
Yes.
He's probably going to be there rest of his life. And I have to remain faithful. I want to remain faithful to him. I'm trying to advocate for him. The state of California, like I said, I was going to have to come up with $6,000 a month that I don't have to care for him. And I immediately thought, maybe what if I divorce him civilly?
Right. I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Still take care of him, be married to him, uphold my marriage bond, but civilly protect myself from going down with the ship.
Right.
And I didn't have to. I did that, but... There are extreme cases where the Church will come alongside you and say, we get what's going on and we're here to help.
Right. Like in certain places, people might lose an inheritance if they're married, or might lose property. There's the weird marriage laws all around the country. So the Church has to allow for, hey.
But that's on the civil arena and saying that it's not morally wrong, but you're still married and you still honor the marriage vow. And then here's canon law 1151. Spouses have the duty and right to preserve conjugal living unless a legitimate cause excuses them. Now, imagine a guy or a woman who is very, very physically abusive. The Church is not saying you have to go back and live with that person, but you are married to him and have to honor your marriage, live as if you you're honoring
right, you can't
the
go out and date someone else, or
you can't even no. you don't flirt, you don't even think about
no,
it.
No, right? You yeah. In right. other words, you remain faithful, even if you're not living in the same place with that person.
Right. Uh-huh. And a lot of people have done that, where you realize you have a good job, you have a good standing in the community, you love your kids, you play with your grandkids, you have a go to Bible study, you have a rich and full life, even though your spouse moved to South America with the 18-year-old. And I'm being kind of silly. That does happen, though. So
it has not happened to me yet. I don't know if you're not looking at me like, no.
Missy, are you listening today? I know.
That kind of stuff. Yeah.
Okay. Right. And then the last one, we'll take calls. And this is really so important. If this, again, Canon Law 1153, if either of the spouses causes grave mental or physical danger to the other spouse or to the children, or otherwise renders common life too difficult, that spouse gives the other a legitimate cause for leaving, for safety reasons, obviously, either by decree of the local ordinary, which is the bishop, or even on his or her own authority if there's danger and delay.
Right. So,
divorce.
You don't have to stay in a situation that's abusive or dangerous or
right.
intolerable in other ways,
right.
too.
Right, it's just driving you crazy. But right. you have to make every effort to resolve the problem, and if the problem is resolved, you have to resume your conjugal life.
All right. All right, now we've got the basics. Do you want to take some calls?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, let's start with Bob in Houston, listening on 1430 AM. Bob, thank you for the call, and thank you for waiting. Go ahead with your question for Rose Sweet.
Well, thank you so much. This is such a valuable program that y'all have today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
I wanted to just tell you the story that I came from. My father was extremely violent, and he would beat me and my brother until we were almost dead.
Mm.
I mean, he'd take us right to the edge of life and death. He was a professional boxer, and he was also in organized crime.
Mm.
And I knew at the age of five that he had a very dark and evil past. Mm. I could tell that from the beatings he gave me. He would also beat my mother.
Mm.
Well, she finally got tired of it, and she moved away. We were in flight at night, so to speak. She had to do it secretly because he would have never. She left while he was at work. So anyway, I'm getting to the point. So she had to get divorced from him because. She had to get us away. I knew I was going to die. She knew that he was going to kill either my brother or I. And she had to leave in order to save our lives and certainly her own life because he had threatened her, too. So she had to get divorced from this guy because what we did was we moved to another state.
Okay.
And he would come up and he would cause trouble all the time. They got divorced. Because what can happen is that even when there's a divorce, if the husband's sending a monthly support, and let's suppose that he doesn't have a really good social life, he's just kind of a zero out there socially, but maybe she does have a social life, and he's sending money to her, he sees him as supporting her in this other relationship. So what she told him was, you don't have to send us any money, just don't come up. And he said, okay. So we never got any support from him. We basically lived in poverty. She was a secretary, and she had three kids. And so we had to do that. We had to get away from him.
That seems clear, Bob.
No such thing.
Right, yeah. But that does seem to fit with what Rose was saying. Did you want to ask Rose about that?
Well, okay. What I want to also do is I want to get to. I get a little charged about this.
Sure. Well, one
okay,
would.
Let
Bob.
Me go, let me go to the Bible. Let me go to the Bible.
Okay.
In the Bible, in Matthew chapter 5, verse 32, it says, "But I say to you that everyone who puts away his wife, save on account of immorality, causes her to commit adultery, and he who marries a woman who has been put away commits adultery." How can the woman be charged with adultery if the husband has put her away?
Okay,
maybe he's got some other chick involved, and he wants to just get rid of her. And in the old days...
Bob, I'm going to let Rose answer that, because there is an answer that comes from the context of the times. So in what way is a man who divorces a woman in Jesus' time forcing her to commit adultery?
Okay, I want to address that. But first, I want to address what you just shared with us publicly, that what a horrible and painful thing that you had to deal with. And I certainly understand your logic in looking at this. So remember, when we read scripture, we have to also consider what was going on in the culture at those times. We didn't have single women who went to the office and had their own life. Women had to be protected in this culture and society by living with and being protected by a man. So she had to be taken in or go find somebody, and therefore that's where she would be accused of committing adultery, because she couldn't just go off and be on her own. So that was, she'd have to establish a new bond when the old bond still remained, and that's what Jesus was talking about. Does that make sense, Bob?
Oh, hang on. Bob, does that make sense?
No, it really doesn't. No, it really doesn't. Because if the husband puts her away, especially in the old days, yeah, she had to go find, hopefully her parents or somebody could take her in.
Well, but that's not, that's the point, Bob, is that in many cases her parents can't take her in. So a woman would have to resort to marrying someone else or engaging in business practices that would constitute adultery. Well, there were very limited options for her.
Let me try to get to the nugget of this. I think you're reacting, and rightly so in a certain sense, that this poor woman who was really not at fault is now labeled as an adulteress. She's not guilty or liable for what her husband did in putting her away, but it puts her in a very difficult situation. That's what Jesus is saying. And the same is with us today, you know. Okay.
Thanks, Bob. We're going to move on. Let's see. Ellen's in Michigan, listening on 91.5 FM. Ellen, thank you for the call. Go ahead with your question for Rose Sweet.
So, yeah. So I was wondering, prior to the last caller, Rose, you were saying how that situation can have such a negative effect on the family and our society.
Right.
And so my question to you is that, what if it's a pastor that has been divorced two times? That pastor goes into a second marriage, full of knowledge, and they get a divorce the second time. What sort of example does that have on their congregation and the rest of the society?
Okay.
Well, are you talking about a Protestant pastor? I just want to clarify. Because Catholic priests don't marry.
She doesn't hear. I don't know why she doesn't hear what we're saying. But.
Okay. If you're talking about a non-Catholic pastor who has been divorced a couple of times, we don't know his current state of health and holiness or whatever, but certainly that gives rise to possible scandal, and it could be a bad example, especially when people don't have the backstory. I myself have more than one divorce. And unless I explain what happened and how young I was and how stupid and sinful I was, people can say, well, who is she to sit on that chair and dispense advice? And so divorce is not a light thing to just be whisked away. We have to understand every situation.
Ellen, thank you very, very much for the call. If you have a question about divorce, remarriage, annulment, maybe you have a question having to do with your own situation, maybe another situation that you'd like to help somebody with, whatever it is, you are welcome to call 888-318-7884. Rose Sweet is our guest, and up next, Mike in Dallas, Pennsylvania, listening on JMJ Radio. Mike, you're very welcome here. Go ahead with your question for Rose.
Well, thank you very much. Well, I'll try to make this brief and short.
And right into the phone, Mike, so we can hear you.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
A little
better.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll try to speak loudly. I don't know if I'm getting good coverage or not. But I'm a baptized Catholic, and I am a revert. I spent the first 40 years of my life outside the church just being baptized.
Well, welcome home.
Yay.
Thank you. I've been back for 20 years now.
Okay, gotcha.
But during those first 40 years, I married outside the church. It was a valid marriage, but not a sacramental marriage. I was married by a Methodist minister, United Methodist minister. 10 years after that, we divorced. She became an alcoholic. The marriage just had to end. It was just untenable. We could not live with each other, mostly because of the alcoholism. She did not want any help at the time. And so after that, I entered this RCIA program. I followed through. I was confirmed, did First Communion, First Sacrament of Confession. And I've been not a perfect Catholic, but I have been as good as I can be in receiving and in going to confession and in trying to understand my faith better and better every time. And every time that I hear a situation that's similar to
Mike, we'll have to finish the question on the other side of the break. I'm sorry, though, but we're coming right up on it. Right back. Want to get right to the core of Christ's saving message? Want a roadmap for living the life Christ calls you to? It's time to look again at the Beatitudes. In his new book, Heart of the Gospel, How the Beatitudes Show Us God's Plan for Happiness, Father Sebastian Walsh demonstrates compellingly how these eight declarations make up the foundation, the essence, and the final goal of Jesus' teaching. Heart of the Gospel illuminates the scriptural passages from which we get the Beatitudes, explains the significance of their wording, their order, and their timing in Jesus' ministry. And it draws out edifying parallels and connections with salvation history and the lives of the saints. Most importantly, Father Walsh offers wise counsel from his own work as a priest and teacher to help you live the Beatitudes in your own life. Order your copy of Heart of the Gospel today at shop.catholic.com or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Our Lord needs articulate defenders of the truth to spread the joy of the Catholic faith. Catholic Answers Monthly Giving Club, Society 315, helps you fulfill the call in 1 Peter 3:15 to always be prepared to make a defense for the hope that is in you. For as little as $10 a month, you'll help Catholics grow in faith, bring lapsed Catholics home, and lead non-Catholics to the truth. Go to CASociety315.com and join today.
If you're not a Bible scholar, the full message of how the Sunday Mass readings fit together can be tough to comprehend. Apologist Carlo Broussard is here to help. Join Carlo every Friday for the Sunday Catholic Word podcast. In each episode, he unpacks the scripture readings for that Sunday and brings them all together so you can better understand and defend the faith. Visit SundayCatholicWord.com to subscribe. That's SundayCatholicWord.com.
Does the church have too many rules? Join me, Dr. David Anders, as we answer your questions right here on Call to Communion, Monday at 2 p.m. Eastern. Now, back to Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Rose Sweet is here with us before she heads back to the desert to hunker down for the big storm that's coming. We got Hillary coming up the coast. And we're talking about marriage, divorce, annulments, separations, all those things. If you have questions in that regard, you're very welcome to call 888-318-7884. And if you'd like to learn more about what Rose does in life coaching and in helping people through these situations, you can go to rosesweet.com, where we're just talking with Mike in Pennsylvania about, and I do think that more and more this is a common story, to have been baptized as a Catholic but not to have lived as a Catholic. And during that period away from the church, to have entered into a marriage, and now things have changed. Mike is back in the church for the last 20 years. And Mike, I'm so sorry that we got right up against the music there, but did you want to continue with your question for Rose?
Yeah. Yes, I just had two basic questions. When I ask and I explain my situation, in some cases I hear, no, you must get an annulment. And in other cases, I hear, well, no, that marriage has already been dissolved, but it hasn't really been dissolved. We just divorced. And even though it wasn't a sacramental marriage. And the other question I would have is, have I been receiving communion incorrectly in a state of sin because I have not annulled my marriage? That those are my questions. And
I have one question for you, Mike. Did you ever remarry, or are you single now?
No, I'm single. I never remarried.
Okay, Rose.
Okay, so this gets me every time, because you should be able to go to your parish anywhere in the world and get the truth fully explained to you, not just you need an annulment. No, you don't need an annulment. People need to understand why. When you married outside the church, Mike, you separated yourself from the church, not completely. And therefore, the marriage that you entered into, not only was it not sacramental, it wasn't even valid. It's called a lack of form. It's a documentary case, annulment, and so you do need to go through the formal process in the public arena at your local tribunal to get that marriage documented and declared as null because it had a lack of canonical form. It's very easy. It takes about 2 weeks in most dioceses. It's very quick. But somebody should have explained that to you, and also the why and what it means. So in the meantime, what you did is you stepped outside the church. I don't know if you did it deliberately, willfully, ignorantly. You know, that's for your spiritual director, your confessor. But that part probably needs to be confessed at some point if it hasn't already. And then if you don't attempt another marriage and you're in the state of grace with no other serious sin, you are free to receive and encouraged to receive our Lord in Holy Communion as frequently as possible. Does that make sense?
That it makes sense. My doubt was whether I have been in that state for the last 20 years.
You go find a wise and holy priest and say, you'd like to have just a longer confession and sit and talk about some of that stuff. But because we can't get to that on the radio. But this is a beautiful thing that you're calling in and wanting to know, because it means you want the fullness of your faith and you want reconciliation with God. And that's beautiful. So good.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, God bless you.
God bless you, Mike. Thank you very much for the call. We're talking about marriage, divorce, separation, annulment. If you've got questions in those areas, 888-318-7884. Going to Massachusetts now, where Ben is listening on the Station of the Cross. Ben, thank you for the call. Go ahead with your question for Rose.
Hi.
Hi, Ben.
Listening to some of the recent callers, I'm reminded that this topic, probably more than any other in this day and age, seems to get Catholics, non-Catholics, just observers, people who even dislike the church, really angriest at the church and the rules. And it's almost like people, even Catholics, who had a messy life like me. I converted 3 years ago, went to the annulment, baptized as a Catholic, had no upbringing. So I went through this whole journey a lot of these people went through. They get angry, and there's a sense of entitlement to sex, to romantic love, when if we're faithful, we need to realize we're all unworthy, worthless servants. We deserve nothing, and we need to be humble. There's just a lack of humility. That's my gut feel after listening to all these calls. I wonder what Rose thinks.
Well, it is a lack of humility, and which is rooted in pride that we want our own way. We see something we desire, we think it's good, and nobody should stand in our way, not even the church, and maybe even not even God. So this is what 12-year-olds do, or 6-year-olds, or, you know, 3-year-olds. I want my binky, and we pitch a fit. And this is, you're seeing adults pitching a fit because they're not getting what they want. It's gross immaturity and lack of humility. So very well said.
Thanks, Ben. I wonder what you think about this, but this is not anger at the church. This is anger at Jesus, because Jesus was very strict about marriage. He didn't play around about marriage. His teaching is among the strictest you'll find anywhere in the world. I challenge you to find anyone who's stricter about marriage. So this is just anger at Jesus.
I agree. And I just imagine we were in a room and we were all discussing about this, and we had a lot of angry people at the church, right? And we had, let's say we had bishops sitting up there and priests and nuns and everything, and all of a sudden Jesus walked in, the real Jesus, and everybody knew it was him. And he just looked at everybody with the tenderest of love and patience and said, won't you guys listen? I think people would pop too. But we have disassociated the church from Jesus Christ.
Yeah, right, exactly. I mean, people are angry at the church about the scandals, angry at the church. But I just don't think that the teaching on marriage, you're not angry at the church. You're angry at Jesus on that one.
Right. I'm angry at the scandals too.
Yeah, right.
But I can isolate that to the scandals, not to that this is the body of Christ, and Christ is the head of the church.
What do you think, Ben?
Remember that, scandal is something I've been thinking about a lot. Giving scandal is horrible, but as St. Thomas has said, taking scandal and letting that destroy your faith is a sin on the part of the, you know, the people who lose their faith as part of the church, like my parents, et cetera. So anyway, I agree completely. And to cap it off, you know, I don't know if it was today or yesterday, the Novus Ordo gospel reading was that passage, that impossible dictate from Jesus that you quoted earlier. And even now, even though I sneak through, it's tough. So I empathize on one part.
Yeah, well, that fifth chapter of Matthew's gospel, Jesus is tough about a lot of stuff. That's where he's really making it quite clear what it means to be his disciple. And
they crucified him, if I remember correctly.
Well, not right after that chapter, but they might have been thinking of that chapter the stuff he said in that chapter when they did. Thanks, Ben. Thanks very much. Carlos is in Canada listening on Catholic.com. Hi, Carlos. Go ahead with your question for Rose.
Hello, thanks. So I wanted to know regarding annulment, is it a requirement to meet, the other party when trying to go through an annulment, or is it something optional?
No, Carlos. Hi. What you do is if you want the annulment, you petition your tribunal, in your diocese, and you begin the paperwork process, and they, out of justice, will contact your spouse in writing and say, we've opened a case here, we would like you to participate, we will give you an advocate, we will help you in any way we can, because it's their marriage too, but you never have to talk with them or meet with them at all about anything.
Okay, Carlos?
Okay, thanks.
Okay, good.
Thank you very much. Let's go ahead now all the way down to Sydney, Australia. Kay is in Sydney, listening on Catholic.com. Thank you very much for the call, Kay. Good morning. Go ahead with your question for Rose. We have a slow connection with Kay. It's coming around.
Hi, sorry.
I know.
Hi.
Go ahead, Kay, with your question.
Hi. Thank you so much for taking the call. And thanks, Rose. I listen to you all the time. So I woke up this morning and I was praying about something, and then I opened up Catholic.com and there you were. So Holy Spirit working.
Thank you,
God. Yeah. Look, I think my question is, we were talking about annulment and everything, and I did have a bit of an argument with a friend last night who said, you're only doing this for you, you know. This is a man-made thing. And I thought, well, you know what? The catechism of the Catholic Church comes from men, but they're of God and all the rest of it. But I don't need that justification. I guess I need to know the roots and the history of annulment and where it came from. And I think that the question before about Jesus being really tough, you know, and in Matthew he talks about, you know, what's, you know, of God is not sort of undone by man. But I guess I'm just trying to find out where did annulment come from. And I mean, it is part of the church, and trying to have that argument, that apologetic, just to say that we're allowed to, we can have annulments.
We're going to just keep going back to Matthew chapter 5, verse 32, because that's also where annulments come from.
Right. And Matthew 19, verse 9, anyone who divorces, except if it is unlawful. Hold that thought. Let me say it again. Anyone who divorces, except if it is unlawful, and marries another, blah, 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 we've talked about that. What does that mean? Jesus himself recognizes that some people who, were married had only attempted marriage and it was unlawful from the beginning. Those who were already married to somebody else, children, somebody who married their own child or married their sister, consanguinity, same sex, there are all kinds of instances, as we see today, that people want the goods of marriage, but they don't go about it God's way. And the church has always recognized, following the lead of Jesus, that there are situations where the marriage was not valid to begin with. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, it makes sense. But people would say, well, it's been 20 years, you have four children. How can it be null?
Ah, yeah.
Here's the example. And again, analogies aren't perfect, but if a man and woman move in together, buy a house together, pay the mortgage together, get pregnant, have four kids together, send them to school, are they married?
No.
Marriage requires something much different than living together and having children together. That's a beautiful part of God's plan for marriage. But just helping people understand in non-religious language, common sense, that some people attempt marriage and there is an invalid or missing bond which comes from the full and free consent of one to the other at the time that they exchange vows. And we know a lot of the time people will say the words and they either don't really mean it or they mean it, but they don't have the capacity to make that vow and to live it out.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, it's a tough topic, but that's
where
it comes
from. Well, I always like
to
use the extreme example because it helps people. Like if a woman were kidnapped and a shotgun was held to her and she said the words,
right. There's
nobody on earth would say, well, I'm sorry you said the words. And so that's what Jesus is acknowledging. And not every case is that extreme, but right. He's acknowledging that sometimes the marriage is unlawful, and that is not a marriage. So an annulment is a declaration of nullity. All it is a declaration by the church that a marriage didn't take place on that day when they said that it was, where people attempted it.
Well, and people get prickly at the way you just said that. A marriage did take place. It was
a
civil marriage. Right. But there was the properties that were due to a proper marriage bond were missing in one or both of the people. And that we were just following Christ on that. And you know why we have man-made rules? Because if Jesus gave us this law, who's going to help us interpret these and teach us about these? Men in the church, men and women in the church who teach us and help us interpret the law and administer the law and enforce the law to keep us healthy and happy and safe. And thank God man made those laws.
Indeed. But this one comes straight from the mouth of the Lord.
Exactly.
There's going to be nothing clearer than that.
Exactly.
This one comes straight from the mouth of the Lord. Kay, thank you very much. We have to take our break. We'll be right back with more calls for Rose Sweet as we discuss marriage, divorce, and annulment on Catholic Answers Live.
This is Archbishop Paul Coakley, the Archdiocese of Oklahoma City, and you're listening to Catholic Answers Live.
Who was the first Catholic in your family? Were they evangelized by a friend, a coworker, a stranger? Did you ever think that you could be that person that God uses to save a soul, and that soul could save their family, their grandchildren, and generations to come? At St. Paul Street Evangelization, a Catholic nonprofit, we train, equip, and mobilize Catholic disciples to do the urgent work of evangelization. Catholic Answers is supported in part by St. Paul Street Evangelization, streetevangelization.com.
If it's central to the faith, you can find it on EWTN Podcast Central, featuring the best of EWTN Radio, as well as faith-filled podcasts from our friends and affiliates across the nation, all in one place, all free. The destination for great Catholic audio programming is EWTN Podcast Central. It's like podcast heaven. Visit EWTN.com/radio/podcasts today.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Rose Sweet is our guest. Lots of folks on the line, so we'll move our way through calls. Our topic this hour is marriage, divorce, annulment, separation. If you got something that falls in that category, this hour is for you. Next hour, Jimmy Akin's going to be here, and we'll do open forum. So a pretty good way to wrap up the week. Kanan's in Nebraska listening on Spirit Catholic Radio. Kanan, thank you for the call. Go ahead with your question for Rose.
Yeah, Rose, if I'm right, you've been married and annulled a time or two before. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. I've known people that have gotten annulments. I've gotten an annulment myself. I've never known of anybody that's personally never been able to get one. So my question is there a reason? It seems to me like people are just afraid to even try. I don't know if there's a statistic out there of how many people that try that can get it versus don't get it, or I didn't know what people think about
you,
that as far as just even being afraid to try to get one.
Well, I think that's a good point. People are ignorant. They think they won't get one, or maybe it's not that important to them. And I don't know of any particular studies, but I know from my own experience and speaking with tribunals really all across the country for a long time that some people apply for annulment, but their cases are so weak. In other words, the facts that they presented to support nullity don't hold water. And therefore, the tribunal cannot grant an annulment when the case is that weak and there's not enough evidence. So that happens quite a bit. In any given diocese, those weak cases will eventually get sent back to the petitioner and say, you don't have enough here, come back when you have more, or, you know, whatever. So there are a lot of annulments that are not granted out there for a lot of different reasons. Did I answer the question?
I guess that if there was something, well, go ahead.
Yeah, well, so that's the bottom line, basically. Remember, the annulment is granted by the tribunal, and you have to give the tribunal the information they need to uphold canon law. You have to show beyond a shadow of a doubt, but with reasonable certainty and by witnesses who can corroborate your evidence that there were grounds for nullity. And I see a lot of paperwork from people, and they just say, well, my dad worked here when I was 10, and I got bullied when I was in third grade, but we loved each other, but then he turned into a jerk about 5 years later when the kids came, and then he had an affair. And that doesn't hold water.
Yep, nope, that makes sense. Yeah, I just didn't know if there was any statistics out there of how much it was versus not. So,
and can we let me add too, there's a myth out there that's saying annulments are handed out like candy and that anybody can get an annulment, and that is just not true. Are there abuses in the annulment process? Of course there are. We're humans, we're sinful, but in general tribunals do everything to uphold the marriage bond. And when a case gets to the point where there's plenty of evidence and good, solid witness testimony, it's going to fly and get a declaration of nullity.
Kanan, thank you very, very much. I'm going to go up to Canada. Sydney is in Canada watching on Facebook. Sydney, thank you for the call. Go ahead with your question for Rose.
Hi, Rose.
Hi, Sydney.
Yeah, I have a situation. I'm a Catholic. My partner is a born-again Christian, and he was previously a Catholic before, but he doesn't want to step into the Catholic Church at all anymore. So we both wanted to, of course, to get married, but then he wanted it to his church, and I wanted to have this marriage to the Catholic Church. So at that point, we don't agree. So trying also to, like, I have been praying for his conversion back home, but then, yeah, he's mad, and then it's always like a war for us when we speak about the religion.
This is a tough situation, and because I know you're probably bonded with him in love, and now you're caught between a rock and a hard place. I would definitely not rush into a marriage. I'm going to answer your question, but first, please don't rush into a marriage and get some good counsel from both of you to help you through this tough time. He's still a Catholic. If he's a baptized Catholic, he's able to marry in the church.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the caveat. When he exchanges vows with you, does he really, really mean them as the church understands, with fidelity and openness to children, until death do you part? So those are the things that you want to talk to him about. If he understands marriage, let's say he doesn't like the Catholic Church for some reason, but if he understands marriage the way the Catholic Church understands marriage, and by reason of his valid Catholic baptism, he may be able to enter into a valid sacramental Catholic marriage with you, but I would definitely go see a wise and holy priest first.
I see. Yeah, because we have a child already, and I wanted, of course, my son to get baptized to the Catholic Church. So I told him if he can just respect my religion and, you know, just go there and be with us during the baptism, because he wanted the son or our child also to have the dedication to their church. So it's
yeah, you know what?
Tough.
So you have a big divide there. He you're not in the on the same page, and you're not of the same mind. And I know that this rift that you're experiencing now is, if left unattended, is only going to probably get bigger and more painful.
Mm-hmm.
So get some counseling, and I will be praying for you, and see if you can at least get him to do it the Catholic way.
Yes, please. I need those prayers. Thank you very much.
Well, I'm praying for you, honey.
We'll ask our listeners to pray for you, too, as well, Sydney, and I'm sure many people will. Please pray for Sydney as she negotiates this difficult situation and tries to come to a conclusion that is workable and what's the will of the Lord. So, Sydney, thank you very, very much for the call, and we will indeed keep you in our prayers. Rose, I want to give you another question before we have to go, if I may.
My beauty secret, is that it?
Yes.
Rose. It's oil of Olay.
Is it really?
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
That's my beauty secret, too.
I knew we had something in common.
But I just put it on my hair.
Oh, no, that's the problem.
So.
Okay, we're trying to lighten up a difficult topic here. I know that. Okay.
Cecilia called from New York but wasn't able to stay on the line. And she wanted to know, is my marriage valid since the priest that married us left the church afterwards?
Well, this is a topic that's covered by all the wonderful apologists very often here at Catholic Answers. And the efficacy and the validity of the sacraments does not depend on the sanctity of the priest. So, right?
Yeah, that's...
Okay. So he could be an embezzler of taxes and have a girlfriend on the side, but and that's another issue. But when he administers the sacraments by virtue of his holy orders, you are receiving the fullness of the sacrament.
All right, Cecilia, I hope that that's helpful to you. I know, I think that there have been a lot of, I mean, I don't know if the circumstances under which this priest left, but we've had people questioning, was my baptism valid?
Right.
I received First Communion from this priest. I went to confession to this.
Yeah, remember priest, that there was a priest last year that was a big scandal. Remember on social media, a Catholic priest had been, you know, he wasn't even really a Catholic priest. Remember, he'd passed himself off as a Catholic priest.
Oh, I forgot that one, Rose.
Right, right.
Oh, well, then that's a different situation. First of all, that's a rotten thing to do.
I know.
But because he was like, I need to get all that big money that Catholic priests are getting. I don't think that was a bad choice, dude. But, you know, even if the priest is involved in horrible scandal,
right,
as you were saying,
right,
this does not turn your marriage or your First Communion or your confession or your baptism
into
something invalid.
Let me ask you, and because the power of that sacrament is coming from
Jesus. Oh, yeah.
And it's coming through the priest. So really, you are getting this encounter with the Lord himself.
Rose, thank you very much for the hour. The teaching on marriage is hard, but it is a beautiful teaching, as you said. Once you understand what Jesus has given us in sacramental marriage, it's extraordinary.
He wants us safe. He wants us happy. He wants us holy. And the church really is our mother, and she loves us, and we can trust her. You can't trust everybody in the church.
No.
But you can trust Holy Mother Church.
Yep, and you can certainly trust the Lord Jesus, who is the one who designed this whole thing.
And I think you can trust Catholic Answers. I tell
it's not as much as the Lord Jesus. I can
tell
you that.
No, I'm just telling this. You guys are the go-to place to get the nitty gritty and to get the truth and the fullness of the truth for all these difficult situations. I tell all my clients who are coming back to their faith, where do I go? What podcast do I listen to? I go, you know, that the first go to Catholic Answers.
Oh, thanks, Rose.
No, it's true. I've been relying on you guys for decades, so thank you.
Yeah, and I rely on Catholic Answers as well. I mean, I've learned a lot coming here, but I do think that the sense that that you bring, that the hope that you bring, that look, these difficult situations can be resolved, and the church wants them resolved. Don't just panic about it or despair about it, but come to the church ask what's available, what can be done, and great progress is being made because of that.
And if you don't get help right away, just keep looking.
Yeah, that's the thing. Sometimes right. you do have to keep looking right. in the Catholic Church.
Right.
But
right.
Rose Sweet, thanks very much.
Thank you, Cy. Good to see you.
Enjoy your pilgrimage to the Holy Land that I know you are going to embark
on. In November, I can't wait.
And check out rosesweet.com if you want to know what Rose is up to or if you'd like to get in contact with her, rosesweet.com. Coming up next, Jimmy Akin. It's Open Forum. We'll finish out the work week with an hour of Open Forum. Your call's welcome, 888-318-7884.